The question was asked, do we say that ideally in Judaism there's one leader? And if so, does that mean that there's no room for different colors in Judaism? Is everyone just supposed to be the same black and white? So the answer is that yes, there's supposed to be one leader, and that leader is supposed to be pious. It's true that the leadership is somewhat divided because you have the king, and then you have the prophets, and then you have the rabbis, and you have the high court, and each one has their role. And if the king is a huge Talmud Chacham like David HaMelech, then what he says goes as far as rulership. But you know what? He can't go to war without the approval of the Beis Din and a whole bunch of other things. There's a whole system that has to work out. The Gemara tells us he needs the Beis Din and the Beis Din and the Kohen Gadol, and there's a whole bunch of criteria. So he's the boss in many respects. But when it comes to paskening halacha, David's a big Talmud Chacham, and yet he has someone sitting right next to him called Mephibosheth, who is a bigger rabbi than he is. And when he paskens, he turns to him and says, Yefibosheth, Mephibosheth, Rebbe, Yafedanti, Yafetimeti, Yafetialti, did I get it right? He asks his Rebbe. That's a pious king. He knows there's someone smarter than him. He has his Rebbe, Irai Yairi. He has Natan the Navi. So when we say there's one leader, we mean, yes, there's supposed to be one king. But you know what? That king is supposed to work within a system. And that system also limits the king, as when Shaul says to his officers, his chief of staffs, kill out the Kohanim of Nob. And Avner Ben-Ner says no. It was two. Avner Ben-Ner and who else? I don't remember who the other one was. The two generals tell Shaul, no, we're not. Because when the king was given his rights, it began with Yoshua. They said, whoever defies your word for whatever you say will get the death penalty. Rak chazak v'ematz. Rak, a miut, I'm a condition that, chazak v'ematz, you will be strong and you will have fortitude with the Torah. So long as you're within the confines of the Torah, we listen. Once you're out. We're not with you. So yeah, you told us what to do. If you told us to go to war and risk our lives, we'd do what you said. You tell us to do something that's an avera, we don't have to listen to you, the king. That's what they answered him, and that's the halacha. So yes, ideally there should be a pyramid. You have the king and you have under him, but you know the people under him are also part of the power. And sometimes the Navi comes and gives the king over the head, as we find with David HaMelech, as we find with Shlomo, as we find with Shlomo, was even rebuked by the chief rabbi, not even by a Navi, by Ravan ben Nevat, who was just a very, very big rabbi, a big Talmud Chacham. And you know what? Torah overrides at the end of the day. Now, when we have a Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin gives us a final ruling on what the halacha is, the Sanhedrin isn't bound by the king. When Shaul sees David go out to war, and Shaul says, Ben Mize Ha'elem, whose son is that? So along comes Doeg Adomi and says, what are you worried if he's from Peretz or Zerach, which family of the Judean dynasty is from, whether he'll be king or not? He's not even fit to marry a Jew. He comes from Ruth the Moabite. Avner Ben-Ner says, what do you mean? It says Moavi, to the exclusion of a Moaviyah, a female Moabite, can enter the Jewish people. So Doeg answers him. The Gemara goes to back and forth, until he stumps him. Finally, Doeg stumps Avner Ben-Er. Avner Ben-Er had a... And then he tells him the women could have arranged for it to happen. You'll tell me, so he says, the way Advar Shel Kidmut Chemelechmu V'mayim, the women weren't supposed to go out and greet the men with drink and water. You can't hold that against them. It says they can't marry into us because they boycotted us. Well, women weren't part of the boycott. So Doeg says, that's not true. The men could have served the men. The women could have served the women. They could have done it in a modest fashion. And so women should also be prohibited. And Doeg was the chief rabbi. Along, what does Shaul say to them? Halachazu mitrofefet biyadchem. You're uncertain what the halach is. Go to the Sanhedrin. Go find out. We have chief rabbis. So even though Shaul is the king, he doesn't know what the halach is. So the Sanhedrin is going to call the shots. So that's as far as that. Now, there was supposed to be a system. And the king can play whatever role in that system depending on how big he is in Torah. The king doesn't call the shots in Torah unless he's big enough to call the shots in Torah. Yeravam ben Nevat was a giant in Torah. He used it the wrong way, but he was a giant in Torah. He was quite possibly the greatest sage of his day. But he ended up using it for his own honor and leading the whole Jewish people to idol worship. Okay, fine. Every person has free will. But that doesn't mean that every Jew has to look alike. Not at all. When we had prophets, so then every Jew would go to the prophet, and the prophet would tell each Jew how he can realize his potential in Judaism. Meaning, although we have 613 mitzvahs, and although there is a system that we all have to adhere to, within that system, there is a lot of room for a lot of colors. And not only is there room, but that is our responsibility, to find our way within that. And that's why the Gra in Mishlei discusses the difference between Orach and Derech. And he says there's the major path that all of Am Yisrael is on, and then each person has his path within that. I don't remember which is which. I don't remember. The Gra in Mishlei discusses that we have a few terms for path in Mishlei, and they denote different paths. The broader path, the smaller path, the path that each individual has to find in life. And the Gra says that in the time of the Nevi'im, so then a person would go to the Navi and consult with him, and because he had Nevuah, he could tell him how he should find his own path. The Torah never meant that every two Jews, all of the Jewish people will look alike. No. There's plenty of room for each person to use his strengths. And we even discussed that when the Gemara repeatedly points out people who merited the world to come on tremendous levels, and then the Gemara says, how'd they get to such a level? And the Gemara points out, okay, this one did this fantastic feat, that one did that fantastic feat. You suddenly see that there are many ways to get to the top. Torah is the best, right? Everyone needs Torah, and Torah is the biggest mitzvah. But we're going to see in the Sefer HaMasiyot, we have stories of giants of Torah who asked their Bon Shalom, who's going to be next in the Garden of Eden? And God chose them people who did other good deeds that made it to the same height. So you see that there's every person has their strength, and every person has their way of getting there. Everyone has 613 mitzvot. And everyone has to learn Torah, and that's part of the 613 mitzvot. But within that, you have the guy who, when they couldn't get rain, so they asked someone, he went to Bichazen. He gets up there, and he says, Mashiva Ruach, and winds are blowing. He says, Morid Hageshem, and suddenly, bam, it's pouring. So the rabbis ask him, what do you do? So he says, well, I teach children. And I teach the poor like I teach the wealthy. And if there's a child whose parents can't pay, I take him anyways and I treat him like everyone else. And when a kid doesn't want to learn, I have an aquarium. I take out a fish and I entertain him and I get him to want to learn. Fantastic. Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya, giants in Torah. But Rebbe Chiya was busy teaching the children of Israel, so they said he shouldn't become the Nasi. We'll appoint the Nasius, we'll give it to someone else, because even though he's a giant in Torah, Rebbe Chiya, but he's doing too important, his job is way too important in educating the people of Israel. And so on and so forth. We have other stories. Elio is in a marketplace, 2 million people walking in front of him. He says, no one's going to get to the world to come. He tells Rebbe Broca, they're the two medical clowns, because they get people happy. They're going to get the world to come. That's their route to the world to come. That's why sometimes women are very upset that their job isn't to learn Talmud. Who says that's a lacking? So what? Not every Jew is going to get there through learning Talmud. We all have a mitzvah to learn Torah, and every one of us has our way of getting the world to come. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Chalafta and his wife, that when the world needed rain, they went up to the roof and they daven, and the clouds would first come from her angle. Why? Because when she did tzedakah, she did it better than he did. He could give money, she could give food. She was home with the food. Okay, that's pretty phenomenal. You say, but he's learning Torah. Look at what a tzaddik. Look at what he's doing. No, you see, the rains came from her angle. So she wasn't learning Torah. That wasn't her job in the world. But hey, no two Jews have the same exact job in the world. So we all have 613 mitzvahs, and we all could learn. And the fact that there's one universal court or bottom line as to what the halacha says doesn't mean that we all have the same jobs. Not at all. Every one of us has his job, and we all have to incorporate all 613 mitzvot. But where the stress is going to be, this one's going to have guests, Yoav ben Tzruya, David's nephew, David's sister Tzruya, he had a son Yoav, he was chief general. His house was a soup kitchen. Okay, that was his mitzvah. He had many mitzvahs. He was also chief general of Israel. But one of his mitzvahs was also that he had a public soup kitchen in his house. Different people had different mitzvahs. Shaul used to have a fund for kalas. He'd use to dress them in beautiful clothing. King Saul. Different people had their mitzvahs. So Shaul had a lot of mitzvahs. He saved a lot of people's lives. Okay, and that's all beautiful. And the Torah leaves us room to develop. It's not just a one size fits all, not at all.
So someone who learns Torah his whole life and becomes the Gadol Dor, it's not a little bit thought that he will get a higher portion than the Gaba who collects money for all the poor people in the city, or does it? It's different because I mean the Gaba wasn't able to become a Gadol Dor, so I'm saying they're the same spot. I mean, you mentioned.
The Mabit writes in the Beit Elokim that we're each gauged based upon our potential. That's how the Mabit writes. But you have to remember that if the Gabbai could have been the Gadol Hador, and very often he could have been, it's just a question of, do I want to invest my strength in that? Then he's going to be taken to task over that. We shouldn't be quick to free ourselves and say, you know, I'll just be the Gabbai or whatever. And you have to remember that, in general, when we say, for example, for Shiduchim, when we say, who should you choose for your daughter? We say, first, find the son of a rabbi, find the son of the Talmud Chacham. We have an ordering. And the ordering certainly seems to indicate that there is a preference. We do have a preference. And you know, there's a famous story, I don't remember who was the Rosh Yeshiva, that he was standing together with the fundraiser, and maybe it was the Chafetz Chaim who said to them, I don't remember. One big rabbi was there, and he said to the Rosh Yeshiva and the fundraiser, he said to them, you should know that in the world to come, you're both in the same place, because you're both responsible for all the Torah learning in the yeshiva. So the fundraiser looks at the Rosh Yeshiva and he says, you hear that? We're together up there. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, yeah, but the difference is I get Olam Hazeh too. He said, the difference is that I enjoy this world too. The Rosh Yeshiva said, you know, I'm getting to see lives built. You're dealing with money all day. I get to really build life. Right. Right. So, one second.